I know life is tough, and I know it is as tough as my life has been. I know other people are not as fortunate as I am. And I've managed to take my pain and put it into purpose and become very successful and, you know, accomplish many of my dreams. I still have more to do. But I just know that it's never going to, I'm not waiting for it to be easy because it never will be easy.
Hey guys, don't forget to check out the Street Cop Training Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, 2023 at the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center. It's going to be a great experience. 5 career-changing days, some of the most profound speakers in the industry. Guest speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Navy SEAL American war hero Jason Redman, Sheriff David Clark, Sheriff Mark Lamb, and Sheriff Wayne Ivey. You'll also spend time with all of our Street Cop instructors at this event Monday through Friday. We'll have a great lineup of courses in addition to our great speakers. It will be a week that you will not forget. You'll be thankful you came. You don't want to miss out. Check out StreetCop.com on how to register. If you're going to use the room code, make sure you book it from Sunday through Friday. That's what the code's good for, and it's about half the price of the regular rate. But those rooms are running out, so make sure you sign up now. We'll see you there. We have a lot of obviously law enforcement involved in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts, and that's how it correlates to our podcast. But I appreciate you doing this, dude.
No, of course, for sure, man. Thank you for having me. Two of my students, they're police officers, and they know of your podcast, Maria and Ashley. And they said, yeah, he's an entertaining guy, you know, polarizing a little bit, you know.
I hear that quite a bit, dude. Hopefully most of the people on the polarizing personality that I have are on the good side of the polarizing, not just the, I'm just steadfast in my beliefs. I don't know. And I'm not opinionated. I'm just a factual guy. I'm just calling it like it is. That's all.
Man, people will say the same thing about me, like very much so, you know, people love me or hate me, but I think I speak truth. You know, I'm different now. Like I'm much more, soft-spoken than I used to be, but you know, a lot of people don't like to hear the truth, man, you know, and that's just what it comes down to.
Dude, I've been criticized for talking about the truth for the 10 years that I started opening my mouth publicly. And people just are like, and what they'll do is they'll take any little thing they can find that is negative in something that we have done. Oh, yeah. And they just take that and run with that shit, dude. They just,
oh yeah. You know? But I mean, it's never anybody behind the real screen name, because I always have the option. Whoever wants to come through the door, please come through the door. I'll welcome anybody at any time, anywhere, you know, just sign the waiver. And no one has taken me up on that. I'd rather not. I'd rather everybody just get along. But if somebody dislikes me, come test yourself. You know, that's fine with me. There's just not a lot of common sense is not common. You know, and I got that from my buddy. I just developed a friendship with a very known actor. And he tells me all the time, common sense, Tom, is not common. You know, and it is the absolute truth. If we expect people to have common sense, we're going to be very, very disappointed often.
Well, that's what we call it, uncommon sense. And I learned that from Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, who are, and dude, you're a hell of a business guy, by the way. I want to talk some business with you today, because I know that outside of destroying motherfuckers in the ring, that you have a real knack for entrepreneurship. Are you friendly with Tim Kennedy?
Yeah, I know who Tim is. We're not we don't talk, but we know one another. Yes.
Yeah. Tim's another guy. Tim has a real knack for business. I think you have a real knack for business. I'm sure that you probably appreciate the fact that you have worked so hard and the business side of things at that. But yeah, man, uncommon sense, dude. Dude, are you going to tell us who your fucking celebrity friend is or no?
I posted about him before. I wasn't trying. You know, I wasn't like trying to name drop Tom Hardy. We're pretty cool now. I'm going to teach a charity seminar in London in June for Reorg. It's a veteran charity thing. It helps mental health veterans. It does a lot of great for veterans, and they're based in the UK and they're bringing their brand over to the USA. It's kind of like We Defy, but they're based in the UK. So I'm going to UK in the first week of June. So I'll be staying at his house when I teach that seminar there, because he trains jiu-jitsu. So really great guy, man. Fantastic guy. Very knowledgeable guy. Very smart guy, you know. So, you know, I'm blessed to be around a lot of, like, so you're having Ricardo on the show. You know, he was a huge influence in my life. You know, like, he's a very good businessman as well. You know, I learned a lot from him. And I feel I've taken one thing I've been able to do very well is take the good that everybody showed me over the years, and leave the bad, you know, and kind of build my mini empire that I have now, which is flourishing literally by the month.
That's great, dude. We haven't done this yet, but can you tell everybody who you are and what you do? And if you want me to read off your 9,000 cited wins, I'll start doing that too. But I think it's probably better coming from your mouth.
I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. I'm up for my fourth degree this year, which I believe that means I've been a black belt now for 16 years. I won my first Pan American title in 2007 and my first world title in 2008. I've won numerous things, but more than that, I have a very, very successful academy with hundreds and hundreds of students. I have the Tom the Blast affiliation. We have 50 schools in 5 different continents worldwide. About 5,000 students total representing my name. I put out a book that was number one bestseller on Amazon out of 250,000 other titles and martial arts biographies. That did really well. And I do instructional DVDs as well that have sold over 40,000 instructionals, over $2 million since I started doing them 5 years ago. So, you know, I managed to make a life, not easy whatsoever. I've struggled, blood, sweat, and tears, and I'm still struggling. You know, life is not easy, but resiliency will take you places that most people can never dream of, you know?
Speaking of resiliency, what kind of things have you experienced living the life that you've led? And I'll say an uncommon life for sure, no question about it.
Well, like my personal life, you mean?
I mean, anytime you do something that is different than quote unquote comfortable, There's a lot of challenges and it takes a lot of resiliency. So maybe you could talk about some of your struggles that you had to face that maybe people don't even know about or do know about that you had to overcome and why it's worth it.
Yeah. I'm very open with my life. Like my dad was a drug addict and alcoholic. I just made a post like a few weeks ago, like the day I was brought home from the hospital, he cops had to come and like take me back from him because he wouldn't give me back to my mom. They had to beat the fuck out of him. The next week he OD'd on heroin in Harlem. You know, he was a real dude, but he was a great guy with a great heart. And as much as he showed me what not to do as a man, he showed me what to do as well. Like he was a very fearless guy when it came to men. When it came to other human beings, he was fearless. But when it came to his own demons, he had a lot of fear, you know? And I just learned a lot through him. My life was not easy. You know, I was molested as a child by an older, a teenager when I was a kid. I was like 7. You know, like the day I broke my school record in high school and the long jump, I was a track and field athlete. My father overdosed that morning, you know, and I found out that he was in the hospital, but I still went to school. I still broke the school record, you know, I think it was a year and a half ago, my dad died or close to 2 years. My dad died 2 months later. My dog Bella died 2 months after that. My dog Barney died. It was just a really shit year. Oh, and then the icing on the cake was my guinea pig died. It was just a fucking terrible year, man. You know, but I'm so used to like things not going smooth and still finding a way. Like I didn't take any days off when my father died because I still have people that need me, you know? So I was in there teaching at my school, there for my affiliates. And, you know, I know nowadays people don't like to talk about men, women, this and that, but I try to do what I believe a man should do, you know? And I believe a man should always be there for the ones who need him. I do understand sometimes it gets heavy though. Like I've been suicidal before. I've gotten the help that I needed. I take Prozac, you know, like I'm on medication because I know myself. I know when enough is enough. And I took Zoloft at 20 years old. I was off it. I was feeling good when my dad died. I was actually the reason for his death. I gave him COVID. When he died, I kind of spiraled, but I still didn't like fuck up business wise. So I was still the face of jiu-jitsu, doing everything I needed to do, but personally I was really, really hurting, you know. And suicide now is not even a question. I have kids. I would never, ever, you know, not even a question. But I knew I needed to go back on medication. So I called my doctor, got back on started with Wellbutrin, switched over to Prozac. And you know, life is not easy. I've experienced a lot. I was diagnosed with PTSD. A lot of the things that I've seen, people have no fucking clue, you know. I had my first best friend ever that I've ever had, he was murdered when I was, I think, like early, like 25, maybe 24, 25. maybe like a year older. And then one of my other best friends OD'd on heroin. Then my other like really, really best friend, like a brother that we really developed a friendship over the last like few years. He just died in a motorcycle accident a few months ago. And, you know, it's just life is hard, man. You know, it's hard for everybody. And I understand that. So it doesn't make me all the struggling that I've had makes me compassionate. That's why, like, I always said I could never be a cop or in the military, because I can't stand a man like yelling in my face, screaming in my face, telling me what I need to do. Like, I couldn't even be a school teacher because my principal was who I couldn't stand to have overweight slobs telling me how to do my job. Right. Like, I have to be my own boss. I've dealt with enough shit in my life to where I can't deal with bullshit that I don't believe in. Oh yeah. And I run the ADCC trials. It's the biggest North American grappling competition. And the next one's coming up. It's like our Olympic trials. And I won them 3 times throughout my life. The only 2 Americans have won them 3 times, me and Wagner Rocha. He won it as well. So, you know, life has not been easy, but it's been worth it. I have 2 kids that I love dearly. They're my reason. And I grind well.
What do you say to yourself when you're in those moments that are really, really those, fuck, dude, when is it going to stop? When's it enough? Like, what, how much more are you going to put on me, Lord? What do you say at that time of how do you move forward?
I just never expect it to end. You know, I know life is tough, and I know it is as tough as my life has been. I know other people are not as fortunate as I am. And I've managed to take my pain and put it into purpose and become very successful and, you know, accomplish many of my dreams. I still have more to do, but I just know that it's never going to, I'm not waiting for it to be easy, because it never will be easy, especially once you have kids, right? Because now I have to worry about my children all the time. You know, like this mother bringing in her son today, she was crying on the voicemail that her son is being bullied. Now, people might not always understand how I do things, right? I'm going to talk to this boy today. I'm going to call the superintendent of the school, and the superintendent knows how I work. And if the bullying isn't fixed, I'm going to talk to the parents that are bullying the kid, right? I'm going to talk to the father. I'll grab him right by their fucking face. And I could say that right now because no one could do a thing about it. Because I'll do it where it never could. Like, trust me, I get shit done, right? So people don't always agree with how I do things, but I don't believe we have to fight fire with fire sometimes, you know? And I think that's sometimes why I feel like a little down sometimes, because I feel the world doesn't quite understand, right? That evil is taking the world by the balls, and more and more good men are just turning the other cheek, per se. And I say, you turn the other cheek, all you're going to do is have a handprint on the other cheek, because people are just going to slap you on both cheeks, right? So I think we just have to stand up for ourselves more. And I know sometimes when I go to stand up, people think that's wrong, but it's not wrong, you know? And I just want to help other people that have been through weak moments in their life understand, like, I've been there, I get it. And I feel sorry for their pain. But we just don't, like me, I just don't stop. Like, it's just not even a question. You know what I mean? Like, there's no quitting. There's no, like, not getting up and going to work. Like, I would rather die. You know what I mean? And I can't die because I have too many people that rely on me. So we will just work until the wheels fall off. Sometimes I feel like they're going to fall off. So, you know, hopefully they don't.
Yeah, I think people don't realize the roller coaster ride of doing something at the level you're doing at is, and what it comes with. And you've got to get really disciplined with shutting a lot of the noise out and staying focused, looking ahead. It's one of the probably key things that you'd have to, you could probably agree with, would say that's a fair statement.
Oh yeah, man. Because there's a lot of people too that come to me for advice. Like I said, 50 schools are my affiliate schools. So that's essentially 50 leaders, right? 50 people who are running their own business that come to me for advice. And, you know, it's usually the people who are like talking shit to me are the ones who have never accomplished anything yet. Like the ones who just don't understand what it takes to get any, like if people look what it took for me to get where I'm at, they will think I'm a, I'm a psychopath. They will think that there's something wrong with me, right? Because the level of work that you must put in is not normal. Nowadays, people say, oh, you know, and there's a fine line that, you know, take your mental health day. Your mental health's important. And it is. But here's the thing. If every day I feel depressed, I take a day off, I'm never going to accomplish shit, right? So I've learned to make my mental health days work, you know, whether it's physical, mental, you know, like, there are sometimes I don't listen to music at all. I just listen to audiobooks. Got to be careful what you listen to, you know, because that negativity gets in your brain. It poisons us, right? So I know if I'm feeling really on edge, I will just put on audiobooks. I won't even read comments on my posts because people are just such negative pricks sometimes. You can't win with people, man. And that's just what you got to understand. And you can't try to please the world because you'll never do it. You're going to die very unhappy if you try to please everyone. You know, that's why I always say, if someone has a problem, if you want to come in and talk to me, come in and talk to me. If you want to spit in my face, spit in my face. Whatever you want to do, do. I don't care. You know, like, I'm going to be me. I know my intentions are pure. I know I want to help as many people as I could. And not everyone's going to understand that. And how could bad people support me? Because I'm a good person. So there's always a battle between good and evil. But the problem is now so many bad people think they're doing God's work, and they're not. They're not. There's a lot of bad people out there, a lot of wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, that are acting as though that they're good people, but they're not good people. They're terrible.
You know, I often hear a phrase of, you'll never hear somebody criticizing you who's doing better than you are. It's always somebody who's not doing as good as you are.
Always. It's
a fact. You know, it's a fact. Let's take me, for example. My intentions are just as pure as yours. I have an intention of training cops so they get to go home to the families. They represent the community well. They help society. They put bad people in jail. All these things are so important to me, yet there is still plenty of mud slung in my face when my intentions are pure. And that's okay. But I have an interesting question for you. If I asked you to name, we could say three, or if you want to go beyond this, beautiful things about the world, right? Three, switching gears a little bit. What are three things you think are beautiful about the world?
I think the world in general, if you just take a look at it, it's a very, very beautiful gift given to us that we don't, so many people don't realize, you know, if you're able to go outside and see trees, like, that's a beautiful fucking thing. You know, we are gifted with this beautiful place we call Earth. Number two, love in general is a very, very beautiful thing. Problem is with love, where there's love, oftentimes there's pain, you know? I think social media has been a very, very, I know I'm going off topic, has really put a dent in love because people's perception of reality has skewed because of social media. Think about when our parents were growing up, right? They didn't have like DMs. They couldn't land in people's DMs. Now, every which way you look, something is testing love, right? Something is testing your love for somebody. Like, there's temptation everywhere. And then I just think the ability to have your own free will is a very, very beautiful thing. You know, like, to be able to think for yourself. It's not easy to do, but if you find a way to do it, it's a beautiful thing, you know, because it's limitless, you know, how far you could take things. And again, it's not easy. You know, you have to manifest things a proper way, and your hard work. Now, everybody, you know, everybody thinks they could just read the book, The Secret, and just put into the universe that they're going to be rich and they're just going to fall upon money. No, your work ethic must be as intense as your self-belief, and your self-belief has to be as intense as your work ethic. When you put those things together and you actually have a passion that you could thrive in, well, that's when your monetary needs are going to meet your passion.
I'm also going to jump in here and say, you know, love is a powerful, very powerful thing. When you said it also comes with pain, it certainly does, because I think often at times we don't allow ourselves to love people because of the fear of pain of what if I lose this love.
Yeah. But so I don't want to get any more animals. I don't want to get any more pets because I know they die. I don't want to deal with it.
I often see people or run into them who are, you know, maybe in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're asking themselves questions of, like, why? Actually, matter of fact, I know somebody right now who's like very young and like, I'm not dating again. I'm like, well, why is that? Well, because my last relationship was so bad. I'm like, well, you can't gauge your last relationship as anything more than a learning experience, because what you don't understand about love is once you find love, it begins to blossom itself. And if you meet somebody that you love, you guys can create more love together. And love is a very strong bond. It's a very powerful thing. And it actually is the thing, if it's pure and people can recognize what actual love is, that will help keep those bonds strong, where you're getting those DMs coming in. It's easy to say, I have what I need here. All my needs are fulfilled. But I think over the course of time, people, or even now currently, don't really understand what love is.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, I think we could compare lust and love to discipline and motivation, right? Like motivation and lust are very similar. Everybody right. thinks that that means you really want something. No, you're motivated for a period of time. You're lustful for a period of time. Discipline is very similar to love, right? Because you have to work through it even on the days you don't want to. And I think there's a good quote that what did I say? And it could go in a very broad term. Men are only as faithful as their opportunities. Now, this isn't just when it comes to, like, you know, the promiscuous activity. Like, I think a lot of people, if they had the opportunity to do something and get away with it, they would do it, right? Just like they say, you're not a good man if you don't have the, what did Jordan Peterson say? You only know if you're a good man if you're a dangerous man, or something to that sort. Like, until you know you can be dangerous and violent and you control that, you don't know if you're really a good person, because you have no choice but to be a good person, right? So now I'm 40 years old now. I've been around the world. I've been to 22 different countries. I have a lot of opportunity in my life, and I've seen it all and I've done it all. So nothing could woo me anymore, right? Like I could walk into any club, any place, and see anybody and not look at them and say, holy shit, like, I don't care, man. You know, I've seen it all before, right? So for me, you know, love has a lot to do with knowing thyself, right? Like you have to know yourself, and you have to know who you are, because before you know who you are, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, maybe I love this person or I love that, but what if I love someone else more? What if I love something else more? I don't want to slow down, right? I want to find the best thing. And, you know, there is no such thing as the best thing. You know, everything has their good qualities and their bad qualities. Like, where I shine, other people don't. Where other people shine, maybe I don't, you know? It's just about, you know, really committing to that one thing, whether it be a person or a goal, and committing to that and throughout its shortcomings, if they're reasonable shortcomings, right? And not there's some things we can't just work through, but if they're reasonable shortcomings, you have to understand discipline, AKA love, has to work through and find a way, you know? Otherwise you're going to run through a lot of different goals and a lot of different people, and you're going to be left unhappy often, because it's never easy.
You draw a line in the sand and say to yourself, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. If I'm marrying this woman, that means I'm married to this woman, and nothing's going to come between me and this woman. Or if I'm married to this man and I married this man, that's who I am. That's the persona I undertake. Just like saying, I'm not somebody that can't be trusted. You can trust me to always do the right thing. So when those opportunities of, do I do the right thing? Am I going to take this opportunity to be lustful with somebody else? You can say to yourself, that is not who I am. My morals of who I've decided I'm going to be is this person. And it makes your decision very easy, I would think.
Yeah, I think the problem is, though, I think a lot of people get comfortable. All right. So for me, with my friendships and relationship, every day I wake up, I work for it. Right. Like I go above and beyond. And I also expect the same in return. Like, my role as a man, for me, when someone meets me, is to support who I'm with, to love who I'm with, to be rooting for them always, to be able to do things like take away their stress, their problems as much as possible. And in return, I want peace, right? So if I can't get that from somebody, well, then I can't get it. You know, like, there's always roles in each relationship, in each friendship, and student teacher, there's roles, right? Like, I go to my school, I teach, I give them my heart and my soul. What I need them to do is give their heart and their soul back. If you're training for free because you can't afford it, pick up a mop, mop the mats, clean up the school. The problems arise when people get comfortable. Let's say I'm training that student for free, and they come in and they take my class, and then they leave and they don't clean up, right? Let's say I'm the money in the relationship, and I'm taking care of everything, and I'm taking us on trips, this and that. and I come home and the other person can't even put the dishes in the sink, right? There's like, everybody has their role, and I think it has to be understood. And nowadays, everybody tries to mix roles. And I always say, I don't expect my partner to be able to do what I do, because they're not going to. It takes years to get where I've gotten. Like, and, but I do expect them to do other things, you know, like bring me peace. There's certain things in man that I know I need. And if that's not understood, well, then that's not love, right? Because there's certain things I don't want to do. Like, I went to a country concert last year. I don't really fucking like country, you know, but I went to it. Yeah. You know, I went to
it. Where, PNC? Did you go PNC, Tom?
No, I went to it. It was actually great. The guy who sings Tennessee Whiskey. He's really good, man. I forget his name. He sings with his wife. And I went initially for my girlfriend because she wanted to go. So I went. I sacrificed. What kind of man would I be if I said, oh, no, fuck that. I'm not going. I don't like country. Well, you know what? There's another guy out there that will be willing to take her to that concert. You know? That's why I'm like, no, motherfucker. That ain't going to happen. Like I'm not going to give someone the opportunity to pick up where I'm slacking. So I expect the same thing in return in any relationship that I have. Always. And that's what people need to understand. You cannot be a doormat. You know, in any relationship, friendship, you know, give. Yeah, but if people are just taking, when is enough enough, right? It has to be a give take.
Do you think that working for these relationships as you've gotten older, 40, we're close in age, I'm a little bit older. Do you think some of those relationships that you have worked for in the past become easier to understand and work with now, or you don't have to work as hard because you understand what it means to be in a meaningful relationship? Does that make sense? Or are you talking 100%. Fucking crazy?
When I first started becoming more relevant in my field, I had to always like prove myself. I feel like even in relationships, like, well, I do this or I do that, or look what I did, you know, to where now, like, I'm very confident with who I am. There's a maturity about who I am. So I don't need to compete for it or show who I am, you know? And I also understand that whoever I'm with kind of looks at me as just Tom, right? Like, I go teach a seminar. So like, I'm teaching my first seminar in Singapore in February. And there's so many Asian fans that are so excited to meet me. When I walk through the door, they're going to go crazy. They're going to take pictures and be so excited. At the last ADCC, I couldn't walk 5 feet without martial arts fans like stopping me for pictures. But when I walk in my academy, no one gets out of their seat to greet me. You know what I mean? I'm just me. But what happens when you first start experiencing this attention, you're like, wait a second. Well, these people love me so much, but then I come home and I'm nothing. You know, it's kind of a mind fuck. But what you have to understand is the people who are fanning over you now, if you show up to that same place for a week straight, they stop fanning over you, right? They're only fanning over you because it's new. And again, like, there's so many different things in life that relate, whether it be lust, love, discipline, motivation, newness. That's what we have to understand. And for me, and I think when I was a younger man, I wanted to be more, fanned over, right? Even with like friends and loved ones, right? Where now it's like, no, I don't want anyone to fan. I just want people to appreciate me and understand that my effort, even though I am who I am and I've accomplished as much as I have, I'm still going to go above and beyond. And I'm going to bring my work ethic into our relationship. Like, I work just as hard in my relationships as I do in my own passion, right? Like, I'm a competitor, man. Like, even though I'm not competing professionally anymore, like, I compete for everything because I'm not okay with understanding that, like, some other man out there is, like, willing to work harder than I am in anything. Whether it be for love, whether it be for work, whether it be student teacher, like, no, like, I want to work. What I could control is my work ethic. You know, I can't control how tall I am. I can't control how fast I am right now. You know, I have too many torn muscles, but I could control how hard I work. So I'm going to control that. What I could control, I control. And I do understand that in a relationship, it's not easy. You know, it's not Hollywood. You know, the shit is hard. But again, I also understand there is certain lines that can never be crossed, you know, and once they are, some people are willing to work through them. I'm not, you know, and it really, I guess it depends on the individual. You know, I've dealt with enough shit in my life to where now I don't have as much energy to deal with bullshit anymore. Right. Cause I have a lot, I have a very, very stressful life. Like, so if I'm dealing with a million things and I'm dealing with money, this, that, when I come home, I need peace. If I'm not appreciated and the woman I'm with gives me more shit, I can't do that. You know,
yeah, I agree.
That's something. No, I can't fucking do that. You need to be my safe haven. You need to be where I could just relax. And again, that doesn't mean I'm going to be a jerk off. No, you better believe I'll still cuddle with you. I'll still do whatever you need me to do. Whatever you need, I'll get it done. But just give me what I need to, right?
If you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
Can't get your ass kicked out in a field and then go home and get your ass kicked at home too, right? The ass kicking's got to fucking stop. People don't realize, like, when you're doing shit like you're doing, and, you know, again, we're in different spaces. Everything you're saying, I completely relate to. We're a big training company. There's a lot going on. It's very daunting. There's a lot of discipline involved, a lot of self-education involved in trying to make the best decisions for everybody, because I can tell you give a fuck about every person that's associated with Tom DeBlass.
Yeah.
But people have to understand that, like, we're getting our asses whooped. What you see on fucking Instagram is not what's happening behind the scenes.
No, man, it's stressful.
We're getting our fucking teeth kicked in. Yes. And we have to sit here and go, all right, how do I navigate through this fucking nutty time in this moment? And this person's coming after me, and that person, and then this happens, and you got this happening, and lawyers are calling you, like, what the fuck? And then you go home, and it's got to be that safe haven. It's not that Tom's saying that, you know, there can't be some kind of discrepancy at home at time, but, like, if you are living with somebody, it's why love is so important, because somebody has to see you with those eyes of love and say, I understand what you're going through. You're with me now, and you don't have to worry about that at the moment.
100%. And that's such a problem, you know? And I understand too, like, there's a lot of men who work really hard and they come home and maybe their wife makes a nice dinner or cleans up the house, and they don't appreciate that. Like, they don't think to say, wow, thank you. Like, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we have to remember appreciation is key. And on women have to remember that too. Yes, women have to remember that too. And it's funny, I'll come in contact. I'll get somebody will message me. They'll tell me, hey man, I'm having a really hard time being motivated. My girlfriend just broke up with me. I don't want to do anything anymore. It's like, really? I'm in a lawsuit for $2 million. My best friend just died. You know, what the fuck? Like, I understand pain. Sometimes you want to just shake people and say, snap out of it, man. Like, you have to just move forward. Like, life is not easy. You know, like, come on, you know, but yeah, like, when we just can't get appreciation, that's the key to relationships, in my opinion, appreciation in all relationships. When you appreciate and you don't expect, when you appreciate, that's when things are good. But if you give and don't get that appreciation in return, things will go south really quick, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. That's not a healthy relationship. A one-sided relationship will never work.
No.
And it's hard sometimes when you're stuck in something like that. It's hard to see it because you're in the middle of it. Sometimes you got to step out of the box and say to yourself, wait a second, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
100%.
Dude, what does it mean for you to be a father? Tell me about your kids and what that means to you.
Oh, man, it's everything, you know. I was a wild man before my kids. You know, my daughter really slowed me down, and I'm a very hands-on dad. You know, their mother and I are, we're divorced. I have my kids 50% of the time. I will not accept anything less than that. There's certain things I won't budge on. You know, I walked away from my house. I gave my ex-wife my home. I put $500,000 into it already. I just walked away from it, washed my hands. I got another smaller house built next to my parents, getting an addition built right now. Because my work, sometimes I travel like 1 week in the month. So I need help with my mom, for my mom to help me. And I also got my mom, I convinced her to retire. So I got her to retire early so she could start living the life that she needs and really be hands-on with my kids as well. But, you know, I'm very cordial with, my ex-wife. She knows I'm a great father, and, there's no issues at all as far as like custody battles or this and that. And actually no battles at all. And whatever she asked for, I just gave it. I was like, whatever, whatever, man. Money is money. You know, I just need my kids one day when they grow up to know that I've done everything I could for them, you know, and I'm sad for them sometimes that, you know, that their parents split. But, you know, one thing is for sure, my kids never seen me yell at their mother. They never seen their mother and I like battle with words. They've seen me get, you know, irritated and kind of get quiet. But my daughter also understands that, like, you know, people are people, people change. And she really appreciates the fact that mom and dad are not screaming and fighting in front of her. You know, she loves that, you know, and she knows how hard I work for her. My son is a little bit young to really get it yet. He's seven, but my daughter knows, like, I grind for them, you know, like, I give so much. Like, their mother now, she's actually in college. She's going to school. So I support everything. You know, I do everything, as far as put payments and stuff like that. But, you know, that's the mother of my kids. And I know my kids, as they grow older, will appreciate everything that I do. You know, they will say, you know what, Dad, you really went above and beyond for us. You know, everything I do is for my kids, as far as that's concerned. You know, like, you can't just walk away and wash your hands from your ex if you have kids with them. Because that, like, they're the mother. The better she is, the better my kids are, you know? Like, right. That's what I think a lot of men don't understand. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you know, that she needs to be okay because she has my kids 50% of the time. If she's not okay, then my kids aren't okay, you know? And I want them to have a healthy mother and a happy mother. So, yeah, my kids are definitely a weakness of me. There was a great quote I heard. His name was Sigtryggr. He was a very young Viking. It was actually in The Last Kingdom. The Vikings were always known for being, I was always obsessed with this because The Last Kingdom, the main character, his village was just an hour from where my mother's village was in England, where her grandfather or her grandparents were from. And we have kind of the same history, like Saxon Viking. And the Vikings were always very, very tough, right? Very, very brutal. But the big wars, they would always lose because they were mindless. They never had strategy. And Sigtryggr, he kidnapped King Edward's two kids. And he was only 19 years old, Sigtryggr. He was not big and menacing. And Edward looked at him. Sigtryggr had them both by their hands and they were talking. And he said, if you touch my kids, I'm going to find your wife and I'm going to find your kids and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them slow. And he said, I don't have a wife and I don't have kids. Therefore, I'm stronger than you. You know, so my kids are a weakness in my life that I have that actually keep me from doing harmful things to people. You know, it keeps me. I have some people that have rubbed me wrong over the years that are very lucky that I have kids, because I'm not that guy who will just talk. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck. You know, if I feel like if somebody really, really crosses me, I don't turn the other cheek. You know, I'm a vengeful man and I'm working on that. When my father died, I worked on vengeance and my kids keep me in line. So people should be very, very thankful for that, because without them, there would be a lot of people who would face a different fate, in my opinion.
I think your kids probably know that you're doing your best. And, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, because I'm trying to create examples for folks. I think I am living a life that could be an example for others, because I am getting educated and having higher learning and more wisdom as I get older. Like, I know I'm the best dad because I try to be the best dad.
Yeah.
Right. That's how I know. But I'm like, literally every day, I'm like, am I doing the best for these kids? Am I the best dad? And dude, as long as at the end of the day, I could say, I put them before me, right? Now, I put me before them sometimes, so I'm good for them, right? In the morning, I'm up. I'm trying to get that workout in so I can come out and be the best that I can be for them. So that time is for me, and they come and join me. That's fine. But, you know, I guess the last question I have for you, and I think it's important, is what is your definition of a great father?
So again, everything, the circle of life, everything ties into everything. I think a father must admit that they have to treat their kids like people, not like they're less than. You know, I speak to my children. I don't talk at my children. When I tell my children to do something, I don't just tell them to do without explanation. I'll explain why I want them to do it. If they don't want to do something, I'll explain to them a situation where I haven't really wanted to do something, but I have to do it. Life is habitual. You know, what we do daily is what we become. And, you know, there was a time I was busting my daughter's chops and I was like, oh, you don't love me. Fooling around. You don't love me. And she said, Dad, that bothers me when you say that. I never said it again. And she remembers that I never said that. said it the other day. She's like, Dad, she's like, remember when you were like fooling around and said, I don't love you. And like 2 years ago, I told you to stop saying issues. You never said it again. I said, of course not. I said, because it bothered you, you know, and it was a reasonable thing to ask for me to stop saying that. Now, if I tell you to clean up your room when you say that bothers you, well, that's not reasonable. You have to clean up, right? But I understand as a man, I make mistakes. I have flaws and I do my best to correct them flaws. So I'm a better father now than I was a year ago. And hopefully next year I'll be a better father then than I am this year. And I show them that I'm human. I don't show them much weakness. I don't show them weakness, but I explain to them weakness. I do explain to them, my daughter, that I've struggled. I explained to her that I do struggle, but she doesn't see me struggle in front of her. She doesn't see me break down and cry in front of her. There's been one time I've cried in front of my kids and I had to drop my son off. My kids back off to their moms. He was attached to me. Now he's okay going back and forth between mom and dad, but he wanted to be with me 100% of the time. And he was so upset. He was crying and it got me emotional. And I was fucking pissed at myself that I got emotional, you know? But I just, every time I would drop them off, I would be emotional by myself. Like, but that was for me. You know, I could explain to them, yeah, I hate dropping you guys off because I love you so much and I miss you. But it's not good for them to see. So that was a mistake I feel that I made just once. I try to explain to them as much about life as possible, the things that I've seen, the mistakes that I've made, so they don't have to make the same mistakes. But I have to show them it got to be more than just talk. I really have to, like, especially my daughter, like she's very, very smart at 11. You know, she's going to be 12 this year. And anybody could just tell stories, but you have to make the person feel the stories. You know, like I have to help her understand, like, yeah, your grandfather was an alcoholic. And if you pick up that drink too early, darling, that could be you, you know, and your life could change. If you make one wrong decision, your life could change forever. You know, if you get behind the wheel when you're drinking, one bad decision, your life is over. And I got to give her examples and how, show her, you know, explain to her, almost like a scared straight type thing, but you can't scare them too much. It's very, very tricky, tricky dynamic, you know, but overall I am, you know, people say you shouldn't be friends with your kids. I think that's bullshit. I think you should be friends, but you should be the leader, right? Mm-hmm. So you should be friends, but be the leader. You know, the lion doesn't want to get out of the bushes, but when he gets out of the bushes, they fucking know. You know, I don't really need to say much. I don't want to say much. I don't yell. I don't raise my voice. But if I stand up and I give the look, then no, daddy's not playing. And I think everybody's like that when it comes to me. You know, I don't need to say much. I just... If I'm getting up to speak and I'm very adamant, steadfast in something, then people know, like, all right, he means business now, you know?
Tom, you're a good dude, bro. And I think that you don't have to be as hard on yourself about things that you feel like you could have done better. I think that life just is life. And I think that you are on the right path of always trying to improve yourself, become a better father and a better friend and a better human being. And I hear it over and over again. I'm working on this. I'm working on that. Guess what, dude? So am I. So it takes one to know one. When I see you doing these things from one human to another, man to man, sitting here talking, it's clear as day to me that you move forward with good intention. And I, you know, you should try not to carry some of the burden of, like, you know, I don't think you gave your father COVID and that, you know, like, that's, I'm not, you know, I mean, like, I don't, you know, like, I'm sure that's some burden that you carry with you, but
what that's funny. That's something that Tom Hardy actually said to me. Yeah. When I speak to him, he said the same exact thing. He's like, stop taking that. Don't take that credit. He said, credit, call the credit. Don't take that credit. You know, you didn't kill him, you know, but
the whole time, Tom, I'm sitting here and that's the only thing is flashing in my head over and over again of, like, dude, you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, and I respectfully, from one man to another, like, I know you didn't do that to him. You don't even know where that could have came from. You think it could have been you. What if you found out later on it had nothing to do with it? Would that change the whole story of things? That was your father's story. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people's stories, and I'm not trying. I'm sure your father was a wonderful man as you spoke of him, but to try to carry around that bag of rocks like that, thinking that you were responsible for your father's untimely passing, and God rest his soul. And I'm going to say a prayer for him later, dude. I'm not bullshitting you. I don't fuck around my prayers. Man, you got to let that one, you know, like, that's just me trying to be your friend and not trying to make you feel, I know you're very open. You talk about anything. Like, when I heard that, it broke my heart, dude. And I'm not somebody who is so, like, you know, I know you're not a soft dude. I don't consider myself a soft dude, but I think that we're similar in the sense that you're a very deep thinker now at 40 going on to 41.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Yeah, I'm a very, very deep thinker. And I carry burden well.
I see. It's ironic, but
it's ironic with my dad, because my dad's passing actually gave my mother life. You know, he was killing her slow, man. The stress that he would bring upon her. I actually moved home too, so I could help. She was taking him to the methadone clinic 3 times a week. So I started doing it. So I was driving in the morning from my house, 30 minutes to their house, and then 30 minutes to the methadone clinic, 30 minutes back home, and then 30 minutes back to my house. So I said, you know what? I might as well just move closer to them so I could just take control of that. But then, on top of taking methadone, he was popping like 20 Benadryl a day to prolong the methadone high. So it was just it was a wreck, dude. And since he's passed away, my mother has she struggled a lot, but she looks so much better, so much healthier. She was able to quit works, you know, so I understand that burden had to be, I do believe it had to be put on me, and I carry that weight, you know, because my back is strong enough to carry it. You know, I know one day after all this is said and done, I will rest, you know, not yet, one day.
But dude, this is the perfect example of you go on Instagram, you got a big following, you're a national figure in mixed martial arts, you're a well-known guy, but people don't know behind the scenes, here you are as a successful motherfucker and you're carting your father around to methadone clinics. People don't know the shit that I deal with either. So this is a really good opportunity for people to take a look into, we're trying to do something great for the world, but we got it just as fucked up as you do. And bro, I'm no different than you are, and nothing about my life. You know, people come to my house sometimes. I said to my wife years ago, I had a guy come to the backyard, a nice house, right? Just do. And they said, "Ooh, guys are lucky." And I said, you know, dude, I will submit there is luck is an ingredient in this formula here. I go, and I try to remind people this, do you know how much stuff I've missed so we could be here on the 4th of July at this party that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars? Man. And I get to sit here and watch the fruits of my labor, the pain of me not seeing my kids walk for the first time, losing teeth. That's when I kill it. Just saw a first tooth loss. I got four kids. I was home for a first tooth loss. I was tearing up. And then she's like, "Why are you getting upset?" And I'm like, "I'm not. I just, 11 teeth have been gone. And yeah, I haven't seen one of them. And I haven't seen it every single time it's happened. I haven't been here." And she's like, "Well, I didn't know it meant that much to you." I go, "I understand that I can't be here for the things that you get to be here for. And I understood that when we agreed to make this arrangement that we made and you were going to be their mother and be home, that I had a responsibility to make sure you guys had this life. But what you don't realize is it seems like life is easy, but dude, the canceled flights, the fucking this, the missing that, the falling asleep at the wheel, all this crazy shit that I put forward, then you get these moments where you get to take a breath, the weight's all lifted off,
and just breathe.
Yes. Bro, if you ever want to come to my 4th of July party, you're invited. 250 people in the backyard. It's wild. It's tons of kids. Your kids are going nuts. I got slides. It's fucking wild, right?
Awesome.
And I sit there and I say to myself, this is the most exciting thing for me because I get to see these people enjoy the fruits of my labor. This is how it all comes back to me.
And dude, it's not even, and you're doing, and the irony is it's what you could do for them that makes you so happy.
Dude, right? I'm telling
you. That's the crazy thing. That's how I am, bro. 100%. I love to give, you know?
Dude, I tell people, come to my house, look around. Tell me what here, if you really start thinking about, is for me. Because I could live in a one-bedroom studio, right? And as long as I had the internet, I'd be good. No bullshit. I could live in a, this is not, has nothing to do with my ego.
No, I'm the same way, bro. 100%.
Everything's calculated. So tell me, show me one thing in this house. Well, your gym in your basement. I have a nice gym in the basement. That's funny that you bring that up, because now what you understand is I only have such limited time with my kids. I wake up in the morning, I'm able to go down. As they wake up, they come down to the gym. Or if I'm home, I don't have to leave, go to a gym, and then come back. I can have my kids come down, they play while I work out. So, and then I have more time with my family. So again, just keep pointing at shit at the house. Hey, the pool in the backyard, you like that pool? Listen, I love the pool. You know what I love the most about that fucking pool? Watching the 14 kids in this neighborhood in that motherfucking pool.
100%. All the kids, yes. My house now, like I said, I moved, but I bought my home when I was 24. Five bedrooms. It's a ranch with three living rooms. Beautiful, you know, and I walked away from it, you know, and I built basically a studio next to my mom. I'm having an addition put on it now and I'm going to build up. But my mom's home is also, it's my home and it's 6 feet from my home. And then we have the whole backyard, the pool, the this, that, that of course I take care of. And all the kids in the neighborhood, man, you know, they're all at my house. And it's crazy. I'm getting the addition built at my house now because my bed now is in my, it's one big open space, right? So I can't even fucking relax because there's 17 kids running around, jumping over my bed when I'm trying to, you know, close my eyes for a second, but I would want it no other way. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right. Like, that's people don't understand that, dude. There is a beauty behind the chaos. And there is something very calming about 19 kids having fun at my house and being loud and like fucking my shit up, because I've already submitted that, like, let them fuck it up. I'll fix it. Right. That's why I work hard.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like when they're not here, when my kids aren't here, it's like, well, okay, what am I doing? I don't have anyone to tell to clean up. No one's driving me crazy. You know, life is tricky, man. You know, it's people got to just stay in the moment, appreciate the moment that they're in, even if it seems stressful.
Even if it's a bad moment, appreciate the moment, because you know that it's teaching you something about your next big moment. And
100%.
Bro, I got my ass whooped in 2022. I mean, Tom, I got bent over at a table, Pulp Fiction basement type of shit, right? And I keep telling people, they're asking, like, you know, as like things continue to resolve. And I'm like, hey, listen, like I would have had it no other way, because what I went through now gives me the ability to talk to people and explain to them, like, yo, it's going to be okay. I lived it. Right. And I've helped 100%. A lot of people already, dude. A lot of people, like, hey, did it. I'm like, yeah, no, this is actually what's going on. Let me fucking tell you about one. It's going to be okay, because I lived it, dude. I went through that. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through.
You've been through it. You suffered.
Yeah, dude. And it's so interesting because you and I, guys like you and I, can say to yourself, well, I can take this to the grave with me. All this wisdom that we're gaining and having these extraordinary lives, where I could share it with everybody. And when we share with everybody, we open ourselves up to criticism, making ourselves vulnerable, trying to show compassion and be there for people who it matters to. And the other people take opportunity to sling mud. But don't ever let that dissuade you from being who you are, dude. I follow your Instagram. It's fucking great, right? Like your honesty, even if it means something to one person, that's what fucking matters, dude. Yeah. Not the fucking 38 people that to the one that said you're a piece of shit. Like, dude, it doesn't matter who it's bothering. It matters who it's helping. And that's how we have to shift our perspective, right? You know?
100%. I agree, man. I agree.
You're doing great things, Tom DeBlass. And I got to tell you, it was a fucking pleasure to meet you, dude. And like the fact that you're from Jersey, just fucking like, I'm just like, this is great. Tom's from fucking Jersey, because there's just, you know, hopefully I'll run into you one day, dude. And the invites, I don't expect you to show up, but if you want to come to the 4th of July, put a fucking hell of a fireworks show on, and your kids will have a goddamn blast, because there's gonna be about another 100 kids there. It's a complete lunatic place. It's hysterical. And your kids will probably never want to leave. You'll have to drag them out of the goddamn backyard. Nobody's kids ever want to leave.
They never want to leave.
That's because their father had a lackluster childhood. And now I had a little success and I get to buy giant toys and stupid shit. And I just can't 100%, stop.
100%, brother. 100%. I feel you on that, man. Absolutely. But no, you're appreciated, man. I'm glad I made it on here.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate you. If you need anything, bro, are always here for you. Reach out. Anything I can do for you. You know, that's just as one friend to another. That's all I can offer.
Likewise, brother. Likewise. Thank you, man.
All right, Tom. I'll see you, buddy.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at streetcop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out streetcop.com for that offer.